Hi, everybody. This is Scott Peterson, and I've got a special guest tonight, Paul Evans. And Shauna's not going to be on the call tonight because we're going to be doing the man call. And so I'm really excited to talk tonight because this is an important subject to have when building a network marketing business. And the men in network marketing do it in a variety of ways. And we're going to address all those ways. And, again, we've got Paul Evans on the phone tonight. Paul introduced our first program where he taught the five stones. And last week he did the call with Shauna on time management. And this week we're going to be talking about men and network marketing and how men can support their spouses in the business and how men can build their businesses and how single men can do it and how men that have unsupported spouses. And Paul, I just want to welcome you to the call.
Hey, Scott, I'm so glad to be with you again. And you know, I always love working with you and Shauna because of your integrity, because of how hard you work, the example that you set, and it's not going to be any different tonight. Even though when you dare to call something the man call, we know that we might be able to get in some trouble, but I've already guaranteed you that I will blame it all on you. I will take none of the responsibility, and I'll let you face all of the feedback alone.
And the consequences.
All the consequences. I'll make special notes for Shauna.
Okay.
You know, you make such a great point about this being a critical subject. And often when it comes to us as men leading the way in a lot of different areas, this first section that we're going to talk about with support is a little bit different. And if I can be fairly candid right out of the bat, often as men, if it is our spouse or significant other that is doing the work in network marketing, direct sales, then often we're not as supportive as we could be. We are used to being the driven one or the passionate one. And when our spouse does that or when a partner in our life does that, then sometimes we don't always react the best when we could come forward and really become a great, great catalyst for them. And I know we're going to be talking about that tonight, and I know you put together some things that are really going to help us. So why not kick us off with this support section and share with us some ways that we really can be a great support to those around us?
You know, Paul, thank you. And the thing about support, and it can go either way, right? I mean, this isn't just with a man supporting the woman in the business or the woman supporting the man in the business. This is just really about support. And I might make the assumption. I mean, let's just assume that this is a woman building the business. What I'm talking about right here, and the man is going to and wants and desires to support the woman. You know, there's three really essential pieces to that. The first piece, I believe, in being a supportive spouse is to listen. And you know, the thing about I was listening to a wonderful difference between men and women, and this is where I could get in trouble, Paul. So if I get out of line, you just straighten me up.
Oh yeah.
But it's you know, so many times women, and I go back to the men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and where men, when they have to solve problems, they go into their caves and they go solve their problem in the cave. Or when they talk to another man, you know, it's like, hey, they share their problems and then the other man makes a suggestion. But with women, if they want to share their issues, the men just need to listen. They just need to zip it and listen and not try to provide solutions. And too often we try to provide solutions or answers to the problem. And I'm going to cue up this. I got this quick little video that I came across on YouTube. His name is Mark Gunger. I'm not sure exactly that's how you pronounce his name, but he talks about men's and women's brains, and I'm just going to cue this up. This is about 30 seconds, so I want to share this. This is kind of apropos here.
Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode. She doesn't want your advice. She doesn't want your help. She wants you to shut up and answer.
All right. Anyway, it's a really good one. So enough said about that. Zip it and listen. The second thing that we, the second essential to supporting the spouse is to learn, is to try to understand the business and how it works. So many times I think we see a spouse that's not really that interested, but in order to support them, you know, they just say, well, you know, here's the solution, go do this. But they don't really care to learn and understand how the maybe the compensation plan looks and how the compensation plan works or providing, you know, I just read this article on prospecting and recruiting. You might enjoy this. That's a form of support. Mm-hmm. And so the more you can understand as the spouse and share that with the woman in your life, then that's a wonderful thing. And then the other part is to be there for the struggles and the challenges and to let them lean on you. Have them be able to lean on you and when they have the tough time, zip it and let them lean on you and be there for them during those challenges, because anybody doing anything worthwhile, you're going to have challenges and you're going to have some resistance. And so just being there to support them during those times.
I love those. I'm taking some notes here where you said to listen, you said to learn, and you said to lean. Let's go back to learn real quick. When we're going to help them understand the business and not in an arrogant, hey, I'm going to help you, you know, understand this and that type of frame, but to be willing as a man to say, I want to learn. I just want to understand and I want to see how it works. What do you recommend as far as learning tools? And you're right, this could be easily reversed, but do you recommend going into a back office of the program and watching training videos or reading a book? What are some avenues to help with the learning and understanding that would be non-intimidating and non-threatening?
Well, I mean, yes, you just named them. I mean, going into the back office together is a really great way to learn, so they can – actually, by the working spouse in the network marketing profession, as they continue to almost like teach the spouse who's maybe not doing the business, they learn better themselves. And so that's a great way to do it, going through the back office and showing them how it works. A very easy thing to do is just give them resources for videos that they can watch on how the compensation plan works and maybe some nuance of the compensation plan so they can understand that. And of course, any books that are helpful in the personal development space, because this is a personal development business. And as we grow and build our network marketing businesses, we want our spouse to grow along with us.
Yeah, I love that. And in just a little bit, we're going to be talking about the opposite, because sometimes we're trying to help our spouse understand. We're wanting them to watch the videos, but in this particular case, it's reverse. You need to approach your spouse and say, hey, I want to learn about this. And that's a huge source of support, so that they don't always feel like they're trying to pull you into it or drag you into the understanding or to know what the business is. And instead, that you are willingly wanting to learn. And then you also mentioned lean, to be there for the struggles and the challenges. And I don't expect you to get too personal, but what are some of the ways that Shauna has perhaps leaned on you through the years as you supported the growth of her business?
Well, I mean, first of all, it wasn't hard to want to help Shauna out. And so, you know, whenever she's such a pro at doing the business the way that she does it. So, but anytime that she would have any kind of a struggle, I would just have to listen. I mean, and I learned in the listening. I mean, there's a lot of learning in the listening. So they kind of go back and forth, but really just to be there, you know, just to be able to bounce ideas and if asked, then to share solutions.
Good. Excellent. And then, of course, those are three ways to actually to be supportive. Do you have any ideas or concepts on some things that we may do that we may not feel like it's unsupportive, but some things that maybe we should avoid?
Well, I mean, I think we have to, you know, we become critics, right? And we critique what we see, and we have a tendency to do that. So that's a surefire way of getting yourself in trouble. You talk about getting in trouble, critiquing, you know, what they're doing when you're not really involved. So really don't critique, and don't, you know, don't criticize them for spending, you know, hey, you sure are spending a whole lot of time on this business here. And you know, thoughts like, or even sayings like, you know, I thought this was going to make us rich, you know, being cash minded. We don't want to be all cash minded and saying that, you know, I thought this was going to, you know, I thought you were going to get us freedom. And, you know, that's only been 3 months or 6 months into your build. I mean, this thing takes time. So that's a thing not to do.
You know, when you're talking about critique, I had a quick flashback to another business that I was working in, and I actually go and speak as a consumer and as a client, primarily for the life insurance industry because of the loss of Sherry early in our marriage. And one of the things that I was advised against very early on was don't come in and try to tell us how to run our business. Because you're a client. And I thought that made perfect sense, right? You know, if I don't really know a lot about the business, but I'm going to critique it and I'm going to try to straighten somebody out, well, that's not going to work out too well. So you're dead on. If we come in and we're saying things like you mentioned, like you sure spent a lot of time on this, or I thought you'd be further along by now, or you know what, I'm just not seeing any results. You've talked about it. You were excited. Do you need me to help you out? You know, sometimes we get in there with that little bit of critique or bravado, and we're not trying to be hurtful, because those types of statements might challenge us. But we have to be careful and understand our spouse or our partner so that we can know how our words are going to affect them. So, yeah, being critique-minded or cash-minded could certainly throw us up in a bad way under the bus, and we end up hurting their passion, hurting their momentum, because we're not giving that support that we really need to. Now, that doesn't mean that every single thing out of our mouth is positive or that we can never ask a question. It's all in the attitude and the style of asking those questions, I think.
You know, that's so good. And the other part of that leaning on too, is really encouraging. You know, I mean, encouragement is such a big thing, right? When you get encouragement from somebody, I mean, it changes the whole perspective. And so the encouragement, and maybe just, you know, we can get into this too later. I think we're going to talk about it, but dreaming together, you know, creating shared whys on why we would do this business together. And just getting excited and planning together. I mean, that's another way to show some support.
Super good. Love all of that. So we're going to turn the corner a little bit now and talk about the opposite side. So we've talked about being supportive of our spouse that's in the business. On the opposite side, how do we be the salesman? I just use that to keep the S's the same. I'm always thinking in some sort of alliteration for some reason, Scott. Sorry about that. But support and then the sales side of things, I think you've got a lot of great insights here of how we can really fulfill our role and do it in a way that does not ignore or make those around us feel less than. And we've got several areas that we're going to talk about, such as like work and family, what happens when our spouse is unsupportive, how do we handle this if we're a single guy and we're really after this and pursuing it. And then toward the end, we're going to talk a little bit about how we market as men, how we market effectively to a female audience and respect the boundaries and such. But let's begin by talking about how to balance work and family. What are some of the things that you've come up with and you found that have worked well for you through the years?
Well, again, the balancing of work and family is, to me, is sitting down and getting a buy-in from each person in the family.
Good.
Working together, right? Creating shared vision, shared why, because together we're much better, right, than we are individually. So it's that 1 + 1 = 4, not just I'm doing this on my own and you're just being a cheerleader on the side. We have to get together and come up with why are we doing this as a family, and getting the family involved in some of the decision-making processes, and maybe even giving some bonuses or some rewards for when we hit certain milestones. So really that keeping that in place, and you know, as the salesman in the business, I mean, I've got 5 P's here. We've got the first P is we have to plan our business, right? We have to make a dedicated work schedule and share it with our family.
Mm-hmm.
If we just make our plan and disregard what, you know, we might miss the reunion that the wife had scheduled, you know, a year and a half ago. So that could be catastrophic. But really just having a dedicated work schedule and then sharing what that schedule looks like, setting the expectations, and also planning to with being consistent. I mean, mm-hmm. planning helps with being consistent, and when you have that plan, then what happens is the spouse can then rely on, well, you know, maybe this is date night on Thursday night, and I can look forward to that. And then we have, you know, another section here for kid time or whatever it is. So you actually schedule it in. It could be a 1-week calendar. It could be a 2-week calendar. And then you just stick to it and be consistent. So the first thing under the balance of work and family is to plan. Number two would be to prioritize, right? We're putting our family first. We have to put our family first because without them, you know, where are we going? So let them know. Let's put the family first and let them know what we're doing. And I think we have to work on our communication skills and continue to be good communicators. We have to prioritize not only the family first, but we have to prioritize the activities that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which one of these activities are going to be the low-hanging fruit that's going to bring me the most profits in our company, which is going to be another one of the P's I'm going to get to in just a second. But what's most important today? What's most important in the next 6 hours? And then prioritizing that. And that'll just keep us moving in the right direction. And the third thing is to have perspective. And when things are inconvenient and we have a meeting that maybe becomes inconvenient, we have to share why it's important to make this meeting. And we have to go back to the shared why, right? If we go back to that shared why, then that puts the meeting in perspective. You know, without going to this meeting, then there's going to be a chain reaction, and that chain reaction is going to cause us to miss a deadline or to miss a bonus that we could earn. And so by sharing that that perspective on why it's important is critical. The fourth thing is on profits, and we've mentioned that earlier. We have to celebrate every single win, the small ones, the medium-sized ones, and, of course, the large ones we're going to celebrate. And, you know, we share the success of others too, right? We have to celebrate the success that we have, even the small ones. And the fifth P would be passion. We have to share the passion that we have and show how others can benefit and how we can help other people. So what do you think of that, Paul?
Yeah, I love all of those. And I really love, you know, when you're talking about plan, like let's say Thursday night's date night, and then you prioritize and you show your family where they actually are on the calendar. That at first, you know, it sounds a little bit cold, but at the same time, it lets them see that, oh, wow, okay, so he's not putting us last. We're not getting the leftovers. We're actually part of you know, everything that's being put on there. And I love what you said about perspective too, because I know in my life I've had so many times when something would come up at the last minute or an unexpected trip, and I was not good at explaining why, other than saying I needed to go. You know, hey, I've got to go. I've got this trip, and it's important. But didn't say it's important because here's what we are working toward, and here's what we decided. And while this was not in the original plan for this week, here's why it does fit in our overall plan, or the shared why. I love that, Scott, the shared why, so that it at least makes a lot more sense. So appreciate you sharing those things, because that does make a big, big difference to be able to put it in that light, instead of always feeling like you're in this battle with family. And I know that I felt that for years, where I inadvertently had them feeling like they got whatever was left, instead of that they got right off the bat, I was on top, they were on the top of my mind. You know, so it really does make a difference. And certainly support shifts when they're able to see that we are supporting them as well.
You know, on the subject of calendars and the date night, I have a good friend that it has a date night on Thursday, and he says, "Do you know why I have the date night on Thursday?" I said, "Why?" He says, "Because when I can't make it on Thursday, I've got Friday as a backup, Saturday as a backup, and Sunday as a backup." So you know, we have to remain flexible.
Absolutely. Good point. Well, good stuff there on balancing work and family. Let's move into what do we do when our spouse is unsupportive? And I know that a lot of your folks have felt that.
Yeah, you know, this is a really, really it can be a tough subject, right? I mean, they're just not really into this, and we hear it a lot in network marketing, and the reasons why aren't really important. What's important is that there's a reason why that they're not supportive. And you know, as Jim Rohn says, I wouldn't sign up for that class. The why is not important. This is your spouse. And so I kind of look at an unsupportive spouse. One of the things that I look at is it's almost like a skeptical prospect. And so you have to kind of treat it as such. And so we know with over time, more information may help cure that, but generally it's time. And so we just have to be patient. We have to kind of share the big picture. Again, it's, you know, being a visionary is something I like to use whenever we're sharing what our vision is for what can be for our family. So we have to share the vision and paint the picture for what it's going to look like. And then keep in mind, you know, that they're going to have objections along the way. And if we're consistent and we're always setting the expectations, I think what will happen is the skepticism over time will start to dissipate when they start seeing smaller wins. And one of the biggest things, I was talking to my friend Eric, and he says, you know, we can't resent them for seeing our vision. And that is such a great, great perspective on this. It's so important. That again puts the importance on being patient and just knowing that they're going to come along. Over time, they're going to come along, and painting that vision for them so that they can come along. So we just have to be patient.
I think one of the things that you actually mentioned under balance can help that a lot as well. When you were talking about profits and celebrating even the small wins, at least this is my perspective. When I'm new at something or pumped up about an opportunity, then I will often, I'm a dreamer. So my language is very passionate. My language is very, this is it. And so when you're magnifying that this is it, it's a little bit of a challenge to get some support on that. And then if you're not updating and showing what's happening without the promise of the back end. Mm. You know, what I a mistake that I made in the past was that I would often, you know, say, hey, I'm meeting with so-and-so and they're going to sign up, or X, Y, and Z, however I might frame it. And, you know, and this is what this will mean. Instead of going, hey, I've got a meeting that's set up for tonight. We'll just see how it goes. You know, it could be positive, but this is just one more step toward the ultimate goal. You know, that's totally different than me making every single meeting or referral or relationship about this is it. And so when I started sharing the small wins, the things that may not have been big at all and may not have made much of a difference in that moment, then at least the dynamics were understood, the process was understood, and I did not give an extreme picture of what was happening. I gave more of a realistic picture of what was happening, and that shifted the support in that area as well.
I love that. And what you were saying about, you know, it really is, it's also a fine dance of really believing, right? You have to believe in the vision that you're going after, and you have to believe in that vision with posture. Mm. So that they know you're serious. They need to know that you're serious. And I mean, I think so many times, women in this business that are not supportive, then I think the number one thing that women need is security. They need to feel secure. Mm. And so if they're not feeling secure and they feel like you're going to run them right down into a rabbit hole, then I can understand why they'd be upset. But like you said, if you share the small wins along the way, then I think that skepticism starts to go away. And again, just with their conviction and having posture of what your big dream and what your big vision is for us together, right? Us together as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's
shared vision.
It's one thing if we're out there, you know, spending a lot on development, spending a lot on product. You know, if I went out and joined a gym and started buying supplements and did all those things, but never mentioned my workouts, never mentioned going to the gym, never showed any results of the gym, you know, there would be a lack of support on all of my study or all of my intake without the outgo and it, you know, actually being seen, the exercise that was taking place. So some of these things that we share along the way are just part of our exercise. And then even along the way too, when we're dealing with a lack of support, then when we do share the understanding, you know, just like we talked about early on in the show tonight, when we were looking at learning, helping, you know, being interested in our spouse, if we can help them learn without being forceful, but we can say, I'd really love for you to take a look at this so you can at least know what's going on, know what I'm involved in. Because often we're guilty of painting this great, big, beautiful picture without a lot of details of how it's going to happen. And then their support is that they not only understand, but then they can also give some ideas or maybe even some referrals, because they actually understand how things are working. So that can make a big difference as well. Anything else to add in this section just about dealing with a lack of support?
You know, one of the things that I liked to do in dentistry is to, in enrolling your patients, to ask questions with which the answers that they give you is what you wanted to tell them. Mm. And then they kind of own it. Right. So that's what we have to do. Right. We have to ask questions that we know what we wanted to tell them, but they kind of have to figure it along the way. So it's almost like leading questions and leading them along the way, just little bit tidbits at a time, and surrounding yourself with other successful people. Right. Other successful couples and other successful families that have done it. And we can use that as a reference, and we can refer to that almost like third-party validation and validating our efforts and surrounding yourself with those people. That also helps to build that belief and decrease that skepticism over time, just like chipping it away.
Yeah, absolutely. Just remaining consistent. And I love that word that you just used, even though it's a harsh word, but skepticism. And that's often what we're up against. And so how do we convince a skeptic of anything? Well, we actually don't convince them. We just live in a certain way that wins them. So convincing is not easy. Winning over time is absolutely the way to go. In this next area, this is kind of interesting. You mentioned this when we were just kind of going over our show notes, and I thought it was really interesting because I'd not thought about this aspect, and that is for the one who is single, whether single again or whether never been married or not in a partnership right now. What are some things that folks need to know about approaching business and being the type of man that they need to be in this?
You know, well, the first thing that I thought of about, you know, there are the men that are married that, you know, have an unsupportive wife or spouse, and the men that are building this business that are single. You know, they can just go for it, right? I mean, they don't have anybody to answer to, and then they create their own schedules and they just go. They can go for it. But I think one of the things that, one of the drawbacks of that being a single man building this business is that it can get lonely. And so, building alone can be a very, you know, not really a good place to be. So getting connected with a group or a team would be something that I would recommend for those single men that are building this business, and or a friend. You know, there's nothing more fun than building a business with somebody you enjoy being around with. And so find a friend or a group or a team that you can connect with and go run with them. And again, just surrounding yourself with like-minded people that continue to support you and lift you up when you don't have that spouse that's supportive.
Yeah, it's always a lot more fun to do anything with someone else. I used to play a ton of golf, but a lot of my guys, I guess the running joke is, they said they had to go out and get a job. They say that I don't work. I don't even understand what that means because I work all the time. I just have a lot more flexibility than they do because of the profession that I've chosen. And a friend of mine the other day said, you know, why don't you go out and play golf? And I said, well, you know, a lot of my buddies aren't playing as much anymore. And they said, why don't you just go out alone? And back when I was obsessed, I would. And I thought, you know, that's just not near as much fun as when you're going along with others. And the same thing is true in business, that when you are part of a group or you have a friend that is building the business with you, alongside you, it makes it so much more fun, but it also raises that level of accountability. Having that person there that depends on you, that expects you to make the calls, that expects you to follow up, that expects you to encourage your team, when that expectation is there, it's a lot stronger as far as motivation goes than if we are trying to do it all ourselves. And certainly there are some people who are just naturally disciplined, naturally driven. But I think for the most part, the average individual out there, myself included, would much rather have someone to come alongside and to build and to strengthen so that we are able to approach this as a team rather than simply as an individual.
You know, something that came to mind while we were talking about that too, Paul, is that the other part of this too is that we don't quit when we're supported and when we have somebody that again, as we're holding each other accountable. Recently, Sean and I are going back into the gym again, and we've got this personal trainer that we're working with. Well, it's that in and of itself is enough to. I mean, I don't want to let him down. It's not that how selfish of me not to show up and take his time. So it's kind of like we'll do so much more for other people than we'll ever do for ourselves. And so, you know, I think we quit, you know, we don't ever quit when we're not alone, right? When we're alone, that's when I think people quit. And because they're not accountable or held accountable to anybody or letting them down. And so That's just something that just kind of came to mind.
Yeah, I think we've always got to recognize that and to be willing to be held accountable by someone else, but to also be willing to hold another accountable as well. You know, we can't prevent anyone from ultimately deciding, hey, you know what, I'm tired. But for the most part, we can really spur each other on and strengthen each other. In this final section, we're going to look at how we as men can market effectively to women while keeping healthy boundaries in place. All right, Scott, take us away on this one.
Yeah, that's, you know, this was, I asked a couple of people in the field, and this was one of the questions that came up. It said, you know, how do we as men prospect females, you know, that may be trying to lose some weight and not come across as too salesy or opportunistic or coming across as somebody who's trying to make a move. And so, you know, and it's one of those things that, I mean, it happens all the time, right? And so I think what we have to do is, and I asked Shauna for this because I thought it would be more powerful from her, and I asked her, you know, what would you do? And she says, you know, she says the key is to just tell a story and tell of a story of a woman that's lost some weight. And you could use that story to basically take it away from yourself. You could send them to a resource like weightlosshalloffame.com. Use a resource and send somebody where they can go read stories of other women that have lost weight. Or even a story of you know, your own personal story if you've had one as well. And even addressing it up front, just saying, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable talking about this with you. And then, well, you know, then they may say, well, I give you permission, just go ahead. Let's just go ahead and talk about it. I mean, so it's something that we come across, I think, a lot. And I mean, I think the majority of women, I was reading Richard Dennis's a blog the other day, and he was talking about that the large majority of networking and direct sales companies have women as the reps and the associates. And I think more and more men are joining, but the majority of them are women. And if you look at, you know, why women are maybe there's more women in network marketing is because I think what happens is women are naturally better networkers in general because they're trained from a very young age to do things for other people. And, you know, networking works better, you know, when we can put others' desires ahead of our own. And so, but if you think about, you know, women in network marketing and the word romance comes up, you know, men think of that differently than women do. And so this was the tip that Richard said. He says, for women in networking, romance means excitement and intrigue and comfort and caring. So if we can supply some of that romance with those words, right, excitement, intrigue, comfort, and caring into their life, then recruiting would be a lot easier. So making it fun, making it exciting, making it intriguing. I think that's more attractive than just being salesy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because it comes down to that word of caring, of being sincerely out for the benefit of the other person, so that you're taking into consideration their needs. You're not there to sell a product or necessarily sell an opportunity, but you're helping them decide if this is what is best for them. You know, are these the best products for them? Is this the best opportunity for them? And having that mutual respect really goes a long way than if we're using, you know, the the drive that a man usually has as far as, you know, just wanting to cut the deal or get the contract, that we're a lot more gentle, a lot more caring, a lot more kind, and being a lot more helpful. And as you mentioned as well, being able to tell stories and use those to not be personal, you know, but instead to be third party, so that the results can be seen without there being any sort of critique or any sort of judgment or anything along those lines that would make a person feel uncomfortable. You know, overall, we want to make sure that those we're working with are comfortable. And as men, sometimes it's a challenge when we are marketing to ladies, and at the same time, knowing that that is a large percentage, like you just mentioned, it's a large percentage of those who are in direct sales and network marketing, so that we have to be cognizant of that, and we have to make sure that our marketing plan is very respectful and that it is going to help those ladies that we're marketing to and that we're reaching out to in the way that's going to be the most beneficial for everyone who's involved. And I love what you said as well about just making sure that you can refer them to a resource, some videos that they can watch, or maybe something they could read as well to help them be able to make that decision without that presence always being involved. Now, when we think about marketing to women as well, what are some things that maybe we need to avoid or be especially careful of?
Well, I mean, again, we kind of touched on it, but it's not really about getting, right? I'm going to get you.
Right.
That just doesn't work. I mean, when you think, I mean, nobody wants to be gotten. So it's really more about giving. And so what can we do to, and that's where the caring comes in, right? I mean, if we're really giving, then, and we come across as really, truly, we have a solution, then we're not going to be perceived as that salesy person.
Right.
Did I answer your question?
Kind of started to. I was saying, what are some things that maybe we need to avoid? So we definitely need to avoid, you know, coming across as that salesy person, things along those lines. You know, what are some other things that you feel like maybe we've got to be extra careful with when it comes to marketing to women?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is the I don't know. I mean, maybe some guys get away with it, but flirting.
Good.
We have to be really careful to be a little bit more professional, right? I mean,
yeah.
Network marketing is the new term for MLM, and the network marketing professionals and being professional is kind of the new way of doing it, and so. If we want to be seen as professional, then we have to handle ourselves in that manner. And so not coming across as flirtatious. That's one thing if you're trying to get a date, and that's all your intention is, to get a date. But it's not going to get you a builder in your business. There might be somebody that could tell me a story where it actually worked, and now they're married and been happy for 20 years. I don't know, but I don't think it works that much. It's
that's crossing the line.
A
super good point. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know if you run into this much, but I can remember so many times in the past where a guy thought he was being charming, but he was really being sexist, or he was telling a joke that was a little bit across the line instead of really respecting the boundaries and respecting everyone around him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes back to that video. I mean, women, let them talk 80% of the time and let them be heard. People do better when they're heard and they feel understood. And so when you give a woman an opportunity to share, which is something they love to do, and they feel understood, then you're going to establish rapport. And again, you know, just connecting in a meaningful way, not a slimy way, so to speak.
Love that. Yeah, super good. Well, good thoughts. You know, when we look back over everything we covered tonight, it's been a lot. And remarkably, I don't think you really got yourself in too much trouble. I'm kind of surprised by that.
Good. Oh, good.
you seem to have done pretty well. Let me recap some things, and then we'll just see if there's anything that you want to add at the end tonight, Scott. But I really appreciate this time. I love what you shared early on, that you said that to be supportive, we've got to learn to listen. We need to learn the business, and we need to allow our spouse or significant other to be able to lean on us. We need to be very careful not to critique and not to be cash-minded, so that it's always about this judgment of, you know, what have you really done? And then under balance of work and family, I won't hit everything that we covered under the salesman portion, but I do want to hit these again for those who are taking notes. You mentioned that we've got to have a plan. We want to make sure that we have a dedicated schedule. We want to prioritize so that our family sees that they're first. We want to give the correct perspective so that when we are pulled away from our schedule, that we've got a reason why and it matches that shared why. In fact, when we close here in just a few minutes, I'd love for you to talk just a little bit about shared why. And then number four was profits. We want to celebrate even the small wins. And then passion. We want to make sure that we are sharing our activities with passion, and then also invite our family in to be able to have some of that shared passion as well, which really brings us to the close tonight. And talk to us a little bit about the shared why and why that's so important.
You know, it's when two together, we're just so much better. I know that for Shauna and I, when we come together with a shared vision of what we are trying to accomplish, we're just so much better than we would be individually. And so it truly is that synergistic, collaborative thinking where we're on the same page. And it also removes a lot of the resistance that might come up later. If you have a shared why and a shared vision, you're both working in alignment and working together for a common goal and a common interest. And I think the more of those shared whys we can have as a couple, and as even if you've got an unsupportive wife or an unsupportive husband, just sharing why we might do this and really finding out what their dreams are and then just honoring those dreams and really telling them and encouraging them that we can have those. That's probably a pretty good note to end on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one final thing, you know, would you say that we need to review that together once a week, once a month? How often should we look at that shared why together?
I think once a quarter for the smaller shared vision and the goals that we have to look at it monthly, I think. And then of course I think about the rhythm of Vern Harnish, The Rockefeller Habits. It was a great book because he talked about the rhythm of meetings. Mm. And with the rhythm of going over your goals and your vision and seeing where you are, one of the Tony Robbins, I love the Ultimate Success Formula, was one, know your outcome, and that's really what your whys are. Two is taking action. Three is developing the sensory acuity to know whether you're getting those results or not that are congruent with your desired outcome. And then step four would be change your approach if you're not. And so I think revisiting those is so important to being able to monitor and know whether you're on course for your shared visions, for your goals, and just keeping everything on course. So once a quarter for the shared vision, the bigger goals, and then I think you could even have weekly goals that you go back and you get together and look at them. Are they congruent with where we're headed? And then getting the feedback, kind of two minds and four eyes looking at things are better than just two eyes and one mind, you know?
And absolutely good stuff to close on, man. Thank you so much for that, Scott. I appreciate your heart. Again, I appreciate you and Shauna, the way that you guys lead with integrity and lead together as a team. I think you're a great example of the things that we've covered tonight. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you.
Oh, thank you, Paul. We really appreciate you and Carrie coming into our lives and enriching us and those that we surround ourselves with. So thank you so much.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. Scott, are there any announcements for next week or anything you need to add?
No, but I'm thinking there's going to be a woman call here pretty soon. I don't know. you know, we got the man call. We'll see if we can get them in trouble. So, I don't know.
I doubt it. I have a feeling we better show up to defend ourselves.
Okay. Yeah, so just tune in next week. We'll have another call, same time, same place. And be looking on the Facebook pages for the announcements of those calls. So, again, thank you so much. And
all right, everybody. Good night.